Chaz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PR, 95.9 The Fox. New corona cases in Connecticut. I think 200 yesterday, bringing us up to 618. Westport, still the epicenter.
Yeah.
It's one of the hot spots in the entire country.
Not good.
Not good. Governor Lamont on Monday said schools probably April 20th, and then Tuesday said probably September. So
pick one.
Pick one, and good luck, parents and teachers.
If the kids were the bus stop for a while, well, what's the other one?
We haven't talked to this guy in a while. Hartford County, one of the top-hit counties in Connecticut. So there's Westport, then New Haven, and Hartford counties are about the same. Hartford
yes.
Mayor Luke Bronin on the show. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Morning.
Good, thank you. Considering. How is your city doing?
We're doing okay, considering, you know, obviously enormous disruption here as everywhere. We closed our schools pretty early, and, you know, we've been working to make sure we're getting school lunches out. We're in the middle of rolling out an unprecedented distribution of Chromebooks, 10,000 Chromebooks going out to students, access to devices to connect. And a lot of other issues that we're working with. But, you know, for the most part, I think people are taking social distancing seriously. And I think we're all expecting that we're going to see the number of cases continue to rise as tests keep ramping up.
Are your hospitals ready?
Well, they've been working hard to get ready. I think that they will be okay at the end of the day from a space standpoint, I think. You know, we're working closely with them. There was a field hospital that was just set up over at St. Francis, and the hospitals have been working with hotels to lock down some annex space if they need it. But I think the real question is, are they going to be ready from an equipment standpoint and a staffing standpoint? That's a lot harder. And, you know,
right.
As a country, it's a real shame and a tragedy that we weren't ramping up production of things like ventilators and PPE and test equipment a long time ago. So I think they're scrambling, but they're doing everything they can to get ready.
Have you been watching what's going on in New York City, and does that concern you for Connecticut?
Absolutely. I think, you know, Cuomo said yesterday that, you know, we are your future. Speaking to the rest of the country, I think that there's some truth to that. Obviously, there's some things that are unique about New York. You know, it's the density in New York is a major factor of the rapid spread. But the truth is, New York City was a little too slow to take some of the measures that we've taken here in Hartford and here in Connecticut. So hopefully those measures that we've taken have helped and will help to slow down the spread. But, you know, I think that the way to think about the measures we're taking right now is that they buy time and they help slow down that spread and avoid that, you know, really quick spike in infections. But you got to use that time well. And I think that comes back to the nationwide mobilization of resources for things like ventilators.
Yeah. I think, you know, slowing it down helps the hospitals pace themselves and not get overwhelmed.
That's
all
right.
At once. Have you closed golf courses, or have you done anything in Hartford that has gone beyond what the governor's asked for?
So we, you know, we were early to close schools and libraries and senior centers and rec centers. We also went down to a 10-person limit on gatherings. And that was partly just because we continued to see groups of people to get together. And,
right.
And as soon as we continue to see, you know, some houses of worship stay open where pretty large groups were getting together. And we saw one situation where somebody who tested positive had been at a church service where there were a lot of people. So we dropped our number down to 10 and said, you can't have any gatherings over 10. But look, we're not going out and arresting people.
Right. How do you, you know, you're asking people to do the right thing. Mayor Elker from New Haven was on. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
Their churches were having services and everyone was acting like it was just another day. And then he had to crack down a little bit.
Right. And, you know, we've got our cruisers out there. They've got now a nice, calm, pre-recorded message, but a firm one that says, you know, please follow the advice of medical experts and stay apart. I mean, I think our message here, our mantra here is, look, this is a crazy time. We have to work together to get through this. And the way we work together right now is by staying apart.
Right. Maybe you can drive around in a police cruiser with your guitar and sing it.
Yeah, that'll keep people in time.
Yeah, it'll chase them all in.
Wow, like, yeah. Kind of like rats.
That's a great idea.
There you go. Hold the concert.
John found one of your songs on YouTube. Let's play that.
Oh, great.
The city's closed, the steps are empty. An hour ago, I might have found someone.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
This sounds a lot. When did you write this? Yesterday?
Yeah.
I wrote that when I was like 19.
Really? Foreshadowing.
Wow. It's like you're a prophet.
Nostradamus is here.
I feel like you should record that behind your desk now.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but this might be the time for the comeback.
Just lip sync it. Just lip sync it.
Well, Mayor, welcome back to the show. I'm sorry it's under these circumstances. We got to have you on when times are better. And please use us as a megaphone to get the word out to Hartford.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for spreading the word and appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Mayor Luke Bronin, Hartford Mayor. This is an amazing story. I just don't know how to pronounce her last name. Teresa, how do I pronounce your last name?
Plaisance.
How is that?
Plaisance.
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 Plaisance, Teresa Plaisance is a forward with the Connecticut Sun, and you spent some time in the off season playing in China or visiting?
Yes, I was in China. Yeah, China.
China. And what happened there?
So I got pretty sick around December 14th, and I came down with like a 103 fever for 2 days, and then when that broke, I sat at 101 for 2 days, and then that was on a Tuesday, and then on Saturday I was playing in a game again. Obviously, still feeling like a little sick, had some like breathing issues.
What was the news like in China at that time?
There was no news. That they honestly, when I went to the hospital, I got diagnosed with a case of pneumonia and an unidentified virus. And they were actually trying to put my mind at ease, telling me, like, don't worry, it's not the flu. Don't worry, it's not the flu. And I'm like, at this point, I would almost rather it be the flu. But,
yeah, really?
Right. I'd rather hear flu than unknown virus.
Yeah. Identify better.
Right. So China media is state-owned, government-owned, and so you're not hearing anything about a coronavirus that could be deadly to elderly or people with breathing conditions. Mm. You're not hearing any of that. You go to the hospital. They say, yeah, don't worry, it's not the flu.
Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't heard a single thing. I didn't really know much about it until I came back to America on January 3rd. And once, you know, I started watching the news and this coronavirus kept popping up. I was like, let me look into this coronavirus a bit, like,
oh, boy.
China.
See? And to find
and
yourself.
My symptoms lined up perfectly.
Do you remember what the top story was in China in December when you got sick?
You know, I'm not really... The only person that speaks English on my team is my translator.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know if I was just unaware of everything because...
Maybe there was a little bit of talk and you were just... Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
So you get home...
The first noted case was on December 19th, so they didn't even know what the virus was at that point on the 14th.
Wow.
I heard the government knew in November, but... Okay, so, or they tracked it back to November,
something
right?
Like that, translate,
okay,
yeah.
Patient one was November.
Right.
All right, so you get back home, and are you still sick, or you're feeling better?
No, I was feeling better. All my symptoms went away within 5 to 6 days, and the only thing that I was still dealing with is I was having a hard time breathing when I was playing. Other than that, I was really okay. Like in my everyday life, walking around, grabbing food, walking here, walking there. My respiratory system was fine. It was just getting up and down a basketball court for 40 minutes. Like,
yeah, let's talk about that. So these are the symptoms you had. You're in the top 1% of physically fit people on the planet. Playing for the Connecticut Sun and basketball.
Think, yeah.
And
right. Yeah. Cardio, the whole nine yards. Right.
Well, thank God. What was the hospital like in China?
Their hospitals are extremely different than ours. They are there's really no organization to them. You could just imagine being in a room with people not knowing where they're going, and it's not very clean. So when I was brought to the hospital, I had to get wheelchaired in. I wasn't strong enough to walk in on my own.
Did they have a wheelchair that would fit a basketball player
or a bed?
I mean, my knees were kind of bunched, but there was like a ton of open room in the front of this wheelchair, so I was fine.
Oh, very good.
Right.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it was necessarily fit for me.
Yeah, no, they were like, hey, this is all we have.
Exactly, right.
Get in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You scrunch up and just ride.
And then you said the rooms are not clean and disorganized?
No. Yeah, so when I got there, normally when you play overseas and you get sick or you get injured, something happens and you go to the doctor, you ask a million questions about what's going on, like if they give you medicine, like what kind of medicine you're giving me. While I was so sick, I honestly didn't care what medicine they were giving me. I was just like, please fix the problem.
Yeah,
right.
And I was just that sick.
Pumping in me.
So they brought me into a waiting room. I refused to wait in the waiting room because it was just like so crowded. And to be honest, like, I didn't want anybody else to get me more sick than what I was. So
right.
I was trying to stay away from
when you say, can you...
Else.
Two things. One, Teresa, I'm having a hard time hearing you. If you could talk into that mouthpiece, would be great. And then the other is, when you say the waiting room was crowded, how many people are we talking about?
I mean, that room probably had a max capacity of 40 people, but there was probably 60 to 70 people in there.
Everyone's on top of one another.
Exactly, yeah.
Did it look like they all had the flu?
No, I mean, there was a wide range of things. There was one lady that had a head wound, and she was, like, holding, like, a bloody handkerchief to her face, and there was a bunch of different... Everybody had something different. There was definitely people that looked sick, but...
So it looked like the Connecticut DMV.
Basically,
okay.
Yes, right.
So then...
Right. At peak hours. At peak hours, yes.
Peak hours.
Right.
And then, so they wheel you into this room, and are you in a private room in the hospital in China?
No. So once you get past the waiting room, they bring you into other rooms that have 5 beds in them. There's no curtain. There's just 5 open beds.
Oh.
And, like, you're, like, laying next to strangers somewhat. But they brought me into the room... and they got a woman up out of the bed, and then they proceeded to tell me to lay in the bed.
Oh, hey, how about some new sheets or something?
Somebody
or a roll of paper?
Yeah, it's not a chair.
Some kind of sanitary precaution? Yes, no, nothing.
You could see how that thing spread so fast there.
Yep,
right?
Exactly. Right.
How it became a problem. Yeah. Wow.
Right. So... it's safe to say that I did not get in that bed. I stayed in my wheelchair until they opened up a special room for me that was only supposed to be used for special cases. They kept it sanitized for that. And I was like, convince them to let me go in there and I will lay down. But until then, I'd rather be miserable and not lay in somebody else's bed.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing.
That's gross.
And then
it's really gross.
So they come in, they look you over. And I guess they're translating to you somehow that it's not the flu.
Right. Be calm all as well.
Unknown virus.
Right.
And do they, prescribe medicine or?
So the only person that spoke English to me, I have a few teammates that can like put together a few sentences, but my translator is literally the only person there that spoke English to me. So she was like kind of like my lifeline throughout like my time in China, and then especially when I was sick, she was obviously my go-to person because she was the only one that understood me. She took care of me. She was like around me the whole time. She did not get sick, which is crazy because she was spoon-feeding me and giving me medicine, like putting the tablets into my mouth. Yeah, she took really good care of me.
Now, but since you've been back, have you been tested?
I went to go get tested once I realized
what's going on here. You get back to America, and then you say, oh, coronavirus.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And when I came back, there was no known cases outside of China at the time either. So it wasn't like we had the information that we needed to know to test things at the time. But from what I heard then, there was no way to test to see if you had it. It's more if you currently have it. And after I got checked, I was in excellent health.
Good.
My respiratory issues cleared up as well. And so I'm completely healthy once again, but it was definitely not a fun time.
Wow.
No.
No, and that experience at a Chinese hospital sounds scary. Almost from a horror movie.
Exactly.
It wasn't like my ideal place to spend a week in and out, but
really.
That's a nice way to say it.
I was hoping for better.
Not the ideal place to spend
Travelocity,
a week.
I'm getting yelled at.
All right, exactly. So you're back. You're 100% back, and you're back in Connecticut, ready to play for the Connecticut Sun. Any word on when you folks will be playing again?
As of right now, the draft is still planned for, I think, April 16th. And then after that, I think they're going to start making decisions on if they're postponing the league or not. But, you know, we're doing as much as we can in quarantine to stay ready for the season. And, you know, we can't wait to play in the Mohegan for the Sun teams.
Teresa Poussaint, forward with the Connecticut Sun. Thank you for coming on and sharing that story. We are very glad you're okay.
Yep.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, guys.
All right. Wow. What a story. Huh. Holy cow.
Wow. Sitting in the bed after that person that's going crazy. Ah. Yeah. Like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ass
that whole experience in the hospital.
Just, yuck.
Don't worry.
The thing with the bed was just so gross.
That's gross.
Beyond gross. Yeah.
Good for her for sticking up for herself and like not wanting to lay down in someone else's bed.
I'll just sit right here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. I'm comfy.
Also, do they have beds that can fit an American basketball player? Seriously.
Thinking her feet were sticking out from this person's
That's right.
Right.
Jazz and AJ in the morning.